Next, we have the moving story of Ivy and Kenny Wright, a couple who lived their lives without sight. The story was written by their daughter, Heather Duffield. We heard in December 2020 about Thomas Towell, who died 200 years ago after establishing what is now Vision Norfolk. And this story by Heather Duffield follows up on the Thomas Towell article and takes us inside the old Norwich Institute for the Blind, where Heather's parents met and worked. Here is Sam Elmhurst to read Heather's story.
My mum, Ivy Marjoram, was born at Woodbridge in Suffolk in 1927 and, for a short time, worked at a canning factory in the town and then as a receptionist in a rather genteel domestic agency near the Cross Corner. At the age of 16, as her sight began to worsen, Ivy's doctor sent her to Moorfields Eye Hospital in London, and it was here that her parents were told that she had an eye condition so rare there was nothing they could do about it. In those days, partially sighted and blind people were mostly unable to obtain mainstream jobs, and so the only alternative was for Ivy to leave home in 1943 and moved to Norwich to take up employment at what was then the Norwich Institute for the Blind. One can only imagine how she must have felt to have to leave her family, friends and home to live amongst strangers 50 miles away and having to sleep in a dormitory. However, Ivy being Ivy, she made the best of it, and soon those strangers became lifelong friends. She trained as a knitting machine operator, not the tabletop variety, but big, cumbersome machines, which meant she had to stand all day. Now, Ivy was popular amongst other girls, as she didn't suffer fools gladly, and often stood up to the management if anyone was treated unfairly. It was at the Institute in 1944 that she met my dad, Kenny Wright. Born at Whittlesea, near Peterborough, he had decided to go to Norwich to live and work after attending the East Anglian School for the Blind and Partially Sighted at Galston, where he made lifelong friends. They began dating and married in 1949. And once they were married, Mum could no longer be employed by the Institute, as it was not their policy to employ both husband and wife. As a child, I well remember this huge, imposing building in Magdalen Street in Norwich. There was a front door with a few steps up to it, and inside there was a hushed air about the place. The floors were polished with wide strips of coconut matting going from side to side and across to the big west door, which led into the gardens at the back. Going straight across the hall to the west door, one would find another door on the left. This was the Netta Florence room. I remember going in there at Christmas, and my parents volunteered me to sing at the Christmas carol service for the residents, not just once either, but most of the years of my childhood. I shook in my shoes on every occasion, and for reasons that still baffle me, I always chose to sing my favourite carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And all this without a microphone. I was told to sing up and not be nervous, as, after all, no one could actually see me. I remember going through the west door, and over to the left there were brush-making workshops where my dad worked. Brush-making was a filthy and extremely dangerous occupation for a blind person. Four men would sit on stools surrounding a circular workbench, and in the middle was a steaming pot of black tar-like substance referred to as pitch. The men would gather and bind a clump of bristles, which they had dipped into the hot tar and pushed into the holes of the wooden brush head. There would be around 58 holes in a large yard broom brush that needed to be filled. If I close my eyes, I can still smell that hot pitch smell. Poor Dad and his mates would have pitch spots not only on their hands, but their overalls as well. One of the main contracts the Institute had was to repair and replace the bristles on the Norwich City Council road sweepers. They also supplied yard brooms to many other councils. In the mid-60s, the workshop was refurbished, and they were fitted with square tables and extractor fans that helped remove some of the pitch fumes. Apart from the female knitting and sock-making departments, there were also mat-making and basket-making workshops within the complex. Many of the items made would be on display and for sale in the Norwich Institute for the Blind shop on Castle Meadow. The mats would be those huge types that you would find in the well of shop door entrances. The Institute also had a stand at the Royal Norfolk Show and at the Peterborough Show. My dad was often asked to exhibit his trade at both of these shows. And every Christmas, the employees would be invited to a works dinner at the Institute. Wives were not invited to the dinner, but they could join their husbands afterwards for music and dancing. I remember Dad's mate, Pedler Palmer, who lived at Great Yarmouth. He used to come to our house to wash and change for the event. His white shirt hanging over one of the upstairs doors is a memory still so vivid in my mind, and always represented the beginning of the Christmas festivities. Many of the employees also trained with guide dogs. The Institute had kennels built and a huge fenced-in run for them to use. And Mum, being the wife of an employee, was also allowed to free run her guide dog there too. Heather ends her story by saying, "When they demolished that impressive old building in the early 70s, I felt a bond with my childhood had been torn away." Her mum and dad lived in Magpie Road in Norwich, not far from the Institute, with daughter Heather and son Keith. Kenny died in 1998 and Ivy in 2018, but their memory lives on. Their precious memories.
Thank you, Sam. The Institute was linked to the Norfolk and Norwich Association for the Blind, which is now, of course, Vision Norfolk. And the Chatterbox team works very closely with the Vision Norfolk team.